technology here.
And that lets you save...
Who cares?
True form life.
Green locomotive.
Welcome to Exploring Mind and Body with Drew Tatia. Drew is an expert in nutrition, fitness, lifestyle, and more. And he wants to help you live a healthier, longer, and more active life. Now here's your host, Drew Tatia.
All right, let's get this party started. Welcome back to Exploring Mind and Body. Thank you so much for being here, for tuning in, for being a part of our True Form Life community with your downloads, shares, reviews, everything that you're doing to contribute to the show. We certainly wouldn't be here without you. Today, I'm bringing on another fantastic guest. We have Jim Kloppman, who's an innovator in his own rights. He's designed the Slack block that I've been playing with and using for a while now. Now, I'm a slackliner myself. Now, Jim is going to tell you this is quite different than slacklining, but I love balance and the benefits of balance. And for myself, using his Slack block or balancing in different ways, there's so many benefits from strengthening your core and all those tiny muscles that we seem to forget about when we go to the gym or even work out in functional movements. There's so many benefits. I'm super excited to share this show with you. So sit back and enjoy. We got all that coming up.
This is Exploring Mind and Body. Naturally improve your lifestyle one show at a time with your host, Drew Tatia.
All right, welcome to another edition of Exploring Mind and Body. You heard all about Jim in the introduction. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
It's my pleasure. I'm super excited to talk about the information that you have to share today. I'm into slacklining a bit. I really believe in working on balance and all the benefits that it has. I'd like to know more about your background and how you got into it. What's your story and how did you get into what you're doing today?
Well, I'm one of those people that came from totally outside the industry. I was 50 years old and I skied with one of the best skiers in the world at the time, Stein Erickson. He was 74. And after that, I had this aspiration to ski well into my 80s and 90s. I was already a pretty good skier. Been skiing, I guess, since I was three. And, you know, I started thinking about it. What was it that made these older skiers quit or not be as good as they were? And even athletes in general, why did they start to age out? And as I looked into it, you know, the guys in the fitness industry have done such a good job of improving the science of fitness that, you know, fitness wasn't an issue, particularly for skiing. So as somebody got older, they didn't get that weak that they wouldn't be able to ski well. It doesn't take that much in the way of muscles. And I thought, well, maybe there's, you know, some sort of skill degradation, but I didn't see how that could be possible because, you know, the more you do something, the better you're supposed to get. You know, if you speak to a doctor or somebody who does the same procedure over and over again, they'll tell you the more times you do it, the better they get. So what was happening? Why were people aging out of their sports, so to speak? I thought about it for a long time, I guess 5-6 years. And I thought, well, maybe it's balance. And so I thought, well, I'll go out into the fitness industry and see if there's anything that's a real balance challenge. And there wasn't. So I thought, God, what is it? And then I stepped on a slack line one day and I couldn't do it. And I figured this had to be a good balance challenge. You know, it's just like if you want to get strong, and if you were just to lift 5 pounds of weight every day, you're not going to get that much stronger. You have to challenge the system. So slackline was a challenge, but I was doing the learning method of standing on one foot, and I started to realize that all sport is played on one foot or the other, and no sport anywhere is played with one foot directly in front of the other like you do on a slackline. So I developed methods and protocols using one foot, and I did this just for myself, and I went out that next season, and I was shocked at how well I skied. I mean, I thought I was pretty dang good, but I was considerably better after that. And so then I tried it on some other athletes, and they all improved in their athletic performance. And we even did a little test where we measured their vertical leap after just 12 sessions of 12 minutes of balance training, our balance training methods on the slack bow. And every one of them increased the vertical leap by 10% without changing anything else in their training. It just became like this magic bullet, and I went out into the world and thought the whole world would go, of course. And we know why. You know, if you improve your balance, you get better in every sport except for swimming. I haven't figured that out yet, but swimming coaches tell me it would improve swimming as well. And the secret is you can't do anything more than your balance system allows you. You can't cut faster than your balance system allows you. You can't hit harder than your balance system allows you. There's nothing you can do athletically that exceeds your balance limit, because if you do, you fall or you stumble, and your body automatically throttles you back to whatever that balance limit is.
How old are you, Jim?
I'm 64.
And what do you think the difference is between yourself, someone that's 64 and that wants to get better or wants to find a reason to continue to do something that you love like skiing, and someone that just accepts that and says, well, I'm getting older and maybe it's time for me to slow down and do something else?
What? Are you crazy? No. You know, let's go outside. I mean, that's a good point. So let's say you're not an athlete. You're just a person living day to day. You know, I created this index called the Kloppman Balance Index, or the KBI. It's 0 to 100. It's different than any other balance measurement system out there. 50 being average, 0 being on your back, 20 being you need a cane or a walker. You know, 70 being a good athlete, 80 being a great athlete, almost pro athlete, 90 a top pro athlete, 95 maybe like a Seth Curry, 100 being a Cirque du Soleil performer. Well, we live in a world that's designed for the people with canes and walkers. Not that I have a problem with that. I'm okay with that. But everything is perfectly flat. We're not even allowed to have a little raise or crack in the sidewalk now without a crew coming out to shave it down in case somebody trips on that. So the whole system gets downgraded close to that of a level 20. So if you're a level 40, let's say, and you have a level 60 challenge, you may not fall and get hurt, but one day you might fall and get hurt. And the numbers for just everyday people are astronomical. And here they are. I mean, they're mind-blowing to me. Number one, the number one cause of accidental death and injury for people over the age of 65 are falls. That's a bad enough number as it is. But the second part of that number is over the last 15 years, that number has nearly doubled. And I don't know how that can be when we have better health care, better fitness, better design in terms of the spaces we live in, yet this number has doubled. The second number that's mind-blowing is if you're over the age of 45, and I've seen this with really healthy people, fit people, so it doesn't matter if you're unhealthy or healthy. If you're over the age of 45 and you go to the emergency room, there's a 50% chance you're there for a fall. The third fact, mind-blowing to me, we're all up and about concussions nowadays. You know, concussion this, concussion that, and we think it all happens on the football pitch or the football field in America or skiing or some sort of sport-induced concussion. The number one cause of concussions are falls. So it's just, I mean, the numbers, it's the number one cause of industrial death are falls. These are a loss of balance, injuries, and death, and yet it's something we don't pay any attention to because we feel like we're operating in this perfectly flat world. I haven't fallen, and so, you know, everything's great. But so many people's balance are downgraded, and it's a problem. And I think the other issue that I talk a lot, both in the book and every day, is that when you challenge your balance, you are upgrading the performance of your mind. Nobody ever said we need to spend more time in the office. Everybody says we need to get out of the office. And what do you do when you get out of the office? You go challenge your balance. You walk in nature. You walk on a trail. You ride a motorcycle. You ski. You play a sport. All these things are massive balance challenges. And you feel really good afterwards. And then you do this for a couple of days over the weekend. You go back to work on Monday. So it's and there's a lot of great science that supports that. Challenging your balance is good for your brain. We have a tremendously strong business, I think, now in terms of helping people with post-concussive syndrome. They can't get over their concussions. They come in, we balance, we give the first session away free because we know 20 minutes into it, they'll look at us and go, I'm in. Challenge somebody's balance, it helps them recover from things like concussions. So it's a massively important system to what makes us human. So it's not just for athletes, it's for every one of us. And we don't know that this system's failing us or degrading because we walk around in this flat world.
Jim, it sounds like you're incredibly passionate about what you do. Where did that come from? Where did you have a fall yourself, or was there anything deep inside that got you that really interested in what you're doing?
That's a really good question. I mean, it's something that some people say I shouldn't talk about, but you know, I've always been interested in balance ever since I was a kid. You know, I always felt like when I was in supreme balance challenges is when my brain was calm. So 60 miles an hour on a ski slope with gates coming at me made me calm. Riding a motorcycle made me calm. Driving a car ridiculously fast made me calm. All these things, running down the field and having a very fast linebacker chasing me and wanting to knock me out made me calm. These things all calmed me down, and it turned out after years and years of trying to figure out what all my other issues were when I wasn't doing these things, I went and had a brain scan done with the famous Dr. Amen, who's written like 12 books on the brain. And he has, public broadcasting. He has a big series on. He's the foremost brain expert, I think, in the country right now. And he did a SPECT scan of my brain, and it came back. I had pretty extensive brain damage, which kind of blew me away. They said I had a brain of an NFL football player. So I thought, God, what's going on here? And while they were sort of reviewing my scans with me, which was really hard, it's like a cancer diagnosis. You don't hear all of it. You just keep looking at the picture like, this can't be true. But as I'm looking at it, they go, you have a lot of damage to your cerebellum. And we believe in neuroplasticity, the ability of the brain to reorganize itself and rewire and to put skills in other parts of the brain where it's damaged. And because you have so much damage in your cerebellum, that's your center of balance. And we believe you really need to do a lot of balance training. And I laughed. I'd already had the business open for a couple of years. And I go, I know I don't. No, you do. You need to do more balance training. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I do it all day long. I was at the time, I was 59. I said, there is no 59-year-old person in the country that has balance as good as I do. And they kept going back and forth with me. I said, fine, I'll do more balance training. But it opened my eyes to the fact that I must be doing it because whatever, it's helping me realign other parts of my brain. And I still do it a lot, not because I feel like I need to do it. I'm so good at it. It just sort of clears the cobwebs really well for me.
And did you get a chance to go back and reassess after you've been doing more balance stuff to see if there's any improvements there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I don't know if balance will grow new tissue. It may reorganize it in different places. I'm doing other things to try to grow brain tissue. And I do plan on going back in the next couple of years, having it scanned again. So that's a great question as well. And when I do, and if there's an improvement, don't worry, I'll let the world know, but there may not be too. So.
Sounds good. So one of the things we talked about was slacklining. Now your system, or I suppose balancing in general, is something that I want to talk about. What's the difference between what you guys do and what slackliners would do?
Listen, hats off to slackliners. You know, they walk on a line and they place one foot in front of the other. And the reason we don't do it, our slack bow, it's something you don't do in any athletic sport anywhere. You don't have one foot directly in front of the other. In fact, it's sort of an unstable position. If you play a sport, generally your feet are kind of shoulder width apart and you're transitioning from one foot to the other. I think slackliners have great balance, but what we do is we kind of push it a little further than that. Now, there's some longliners out there that do, amazingly great stuff, and they walk long distances. But, most slackliners, or a lot of slackliners, will walk, 10 feet, 20 feet, and that'll be done. We have people get up on the slackline on one foot only, and we make it so it's easy to get up on the line. We have boxes and that type of thing. And then once they're up on the line on one foot, they have to do 2 minutes of what we call attempts. 2 minutes of, if they step off, they get right back up. They step off, they get right back up on that same leg. And eventually we get them to the point where they stand on one leg in an athletic position that's weight forward on the inside front quadrant of the foot, and they stay there for 2 minutes. And it's a hugely neurologically draining thing to do. When you're up there and you're holding that one position for 2 minutes, you're using every small muscle, what we call control muscle in your body, not the big mobilizer muscles, but the small muscles. And it's amazing. We have these super fit athletes will come in, they'll get up on it, and 30 minutes into it, they'll turn to me and go, I'm sweating. Not 30 minutes, 30 seconds into it, they'll turn to me and go, I'm sweating. Why am I sweating? It's because they're engaging every small muscle in their body. So we really look to take people to their balance limit. And once you get good at one level, we up it again. We may make the line looser. We have a slack plate. This is interesting for you to know as a slackliner. A tight wire is easier than a rope. A rope is easier than a one-inch line. A one-inch line is easier than a two-inch line. And we put a 3.5-inch plate. We've patented this thing on a 2-inch line, and it makes it even that much more difficult. So people think, oh, the narrower the line, the more difficult. It's the opposite. The narrower the line, the narrower the space under the foot, the easier it is. So we have people on a 3.5-inch plate. We have them at their maximal balance challenge, and then we add another challenge to it. We may throw a ball at them. We may push them. We may hit them with a bat. We do things to make it even that much more difficult for them.
So with the plate that they're standing on, so you're saying that this plate is wider to make it more challenging?
Yeah. And we don't just, you know, slack bow slash slack line work is literally 12 minutes of a 50-minute workout. We have just bukus. We have probably 20-some hours of balance challenges that we take people through. And, of course, it's always a progression. Just like if you're a fitness person and you want to lift weights and you want to get to 100 pounds, you can only lift 50. You don't start at 100 pounds. And you start at 50, and then you go to 55, and then you go to 60. You keep pushing yourself to get stronger. Same thing here. We believe a big part of our science is that we can see you when you're at your balance limit, and then we'll push you to the next level and the next level. And because we're doing it in increments, we never take you to point of fear. If you push people too fast in balance challenges, you scare them, and it's really hard to get them back up to that point again.
Other than the obvious benefits of balancing, walking, not falling, what other benefits have you found from working with clients and customers?
Well, if you go back to just taking something like skiing, do you ski?
Not so much. I skied growing up, but I got away from it.
Right. Well, so if you look at the balance system this way, the autonomic nervous system is automatic systems that we have in our body that are protective or keep us alive. So your heart rate beats automatically. There's no conscious thought about it, although you can consciously affect it. You can slow it down. You can speed it up. Your breathing's automatic. You know, you can slow it down, speed it up. If you touch something hot, you can control it to a certain extent. You can hold your finger there longer and burn your finger, but, you know, your instincts to pull it away. So that's automatic and protective. I don't think about it when I'm standing up right now, although I could be using up to 700 muscles throughout my body to keep me still in one position. They're firing everywhere. I don't think about it. So that's automatic. Number two, I know falling hurts. So I consider that protective. So I consider it part of the autonomic nervous system. And a lot of people in the physiological world, or the science and medicine world, don't necessarily see it as such. Now, if you consider it a part of the autonomic nervous system, the next part of it is you have no control over it. Like I said, I can slow down my heart rate just by breathing a little differently or, you know, meditating, whatever the case may be. You can't change your balance. You can't stand there and go, I'm going to make it better just by consciously thinking about it. And you can't fake losing it. I mean, you can't lose it, because if you say you're going to lose it, you're just faking. You know, if you asked 100 people to lose their balance, they're either going to fall forward or backwards. If you watch the drunk who truly has no balance, they'll fall any one of it 360 degrees. So there's no controlling it. Now, go back to skiing. Everybody has a speed limit, except maybe some of the top skiers in the world. You're skiing down the slope. You get nervous. Your balance system says, hey, you're going too fast. You got to slow down. And that's your balance system telling you you can't ski that fast. You up your balance, suddenly you're skiing faster and better. And we've had this happen. I had one guy accuse me of hypnotizing him. He came and he said, what'd you do to me after two sessions? I said, why? He said, my group was waiting on me for, you know, a couple of years now. Now I'm the first guy down in the group. And that cannot happen after just two sessions. We have golfers that come back and have shot the best scores. Lifelong golfers shot the best scores of their life in their 60s. So same thing. I cannot swing a club any harder or any better than what my balance system allows. If I overswing and knock myself off balance, I'll never hit the ball. Baseball, same thing. Throwing the ball, pitching, every sport, even lifting. You cannot overlift your balance system, because if you do, you're going to stumble, drop that weight, and get hurt. So it affects everything we do, even running. We did a long session with some marathon runners. I don't know if you know it or not, but best marathoners in the world spend 25% of a race on one foot or the other. That's a lot of time. That's 15 minutes on one foot, on either on the left foot or the right foot, or half an hour on both feet. That's a lot of time. Try standing around on one foot for 3 minutes and tell me what that's like. It takes a tremendous amount of energy to stand on one foot. So it affects every sport, everything you do.
If someone was not quite ready to get on the slack bow or slack line, or if they don't have the equipment, let's say, how would they maybe transition or still work on balance to improve?
That's a great question. You know, we just say everything. It's hard to describe just over audio. You know, we have some things you can find online, but basically it's one foot. So if you stand, if I took somebody who, and we do this with elderly patients or clients or people who have MS or even our concussion clients, we have them stand on one foot in the athletic position. That is, their knee is bent. Their knee is inside their toe, which is, I know, is sacrilege in the weightlifting world, but a pronated knee is an athletic knee. So the knee is slightly pronated. The weight's on the front, and they're barefoot, by the way, front inside quadrant of the foot. The other foot is just behind it a little bit, and you just stand and balance on that foot. And if you can do that for 10 or 15 seconds, try putting a couple towels under your foot and, you know, put something a little soft and mushy or a foam pad and try the same thing. And then if you feel comfortable 10 or 15 seconds, try to do it for 2 minutes and keep doing it till you think you can do it for 2 minutes straight. And that's the best place to start. The other things you can do, go walk in nature. Go walk on a trail. Don't wear really thick, heavy shoes. Wear light shoes. Go walk on uneven surfaces. Run on even surfaces, whatever the case may be. Just get out off these flat surfaces we live on all the time.
I always thought that balancing on a line improved all the little muscles around my knees, for example, or my ankle. Could you share with us maybe prevention or those little muscles that we would be, if I'm correct in my assumption that these would be improving, these little muscles that I suppose stabilize your muscles?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great assessment. It's just interesting. We've never missed. We have a client comes in. I'll look at them in 30 seconds ago, you have weak ankles. Those stabilizer muscles, and we've had clients come in who've been rolled a foot, you know, every month. And after they've trained for a while, they haven't rolled their foot since. All those little stabilizer muscles, when we go into the gym and we lift weights, we're using the immobilizer. It's stabilizer muscles, these little tiny muscles that are supposed to fire constantly that keep the joints in place. It keeps the knee in place. It keeps the joint in place. And, you know, there's a football coach at Stanford, I think his last name's Turley. I mean, he doesn't even let his freshmen come in and lift weights. He has them do yoga and all sorts of these multi-plane balance type things, and their injury rate has dropped like 60%. So when you say you feel them in your knee and your ankle, that's exactly right. You are improving those stabilizer muscles, the firing of them. You know when you get on a slack line and your leg's shaking like crazy the first time? You remember that?
I sure do.
Yeah, so we call that neurological confusion. If you watch me on a line, I'm pretty smooth. And you watch any slack line, they're pretty smooth. But when you get on there for that first time, that's your muscles. You're firing in the same pattern I fire in. Your muscles just not organized. They don't know who should be doing what when. And so there's sort of like this argument going back and forth, like, no, you fire. And we have great athletes that come in, they're like, they talk to their legs, they get so upset that they can't consciously control this. And this is what I'm saying, it's such a subconscious system. I'm like, just shut up, leave it alone, let the shaking go on, your body's working it out. Give your body time. It's amazing. We don't talk to the brain, we don't talk to the conscious mind. We just want the body to work these issues out. And it does in ways that you just can't believe. So we almost try to pull you away from conscious thinking altogether when you work with us. We don't want you to try to hold this position, move to that position. We are always just freeing up the body, including the upper body, to make you balance better.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jim. I remember, I haven't been slacklining too long. I wouldn't call myself a pro. I just like to be outside and be active.
Right.
But I'm at a place where I'm pretty good. I don't shake. I can walk pretty well, but anytime someone comes on and they want to try it, I help them. I'm holding their hand or they're holding my shoulder, and they're just shaking away. And the first thing everyone says is, "How do I get my legs from stop shaking?" And you know, I don't have an answer. I just say, "Well, it takes some practice for you to learn how to do that."
Right. I mean, the answer is trust your body. Just trust your body and it'll find a way to do it. I've actually lost good athletes really good athletes feel like they should be able to do anything right away and they can't. And it doubly upsets them when they see, you know, somebody my age get up there and do it and they can't even get close to what I'm doing. So it just, you have to let the body make the decision. The body has a level of intelligence, and this is where we go all the time. We do a lot of work with people with peripheral vision. You don't realize it, but 90% of the data that comes in through your eyes doesn't even go into your conscious mind. It goes into the body. It goes into the operating system of how you move. So it's just, you have to let the body decide. We don't play music because we don't want to artificially have you shut off your conscious mind. You really have to learn how to shut off your conscious mind and let your body make decisions. And when you play your best sport, whether it's golf, tennis, football, whenever you play your best, you'll come off the field and you'll go, I was unconscious. He was unconscious. Meaning, where did it come from? It came from the body. It did not come from sort of some conscious thought or movement in the brain.
Jim, tell me more about, I know you have a book. I know you guys have a product that you guys are working on. Tell us more details about what you guys have.
Well, we have a system called the Slackbow Balance Training System. We have a book called Balance is Power that's available on Amazon. It tells you the four main reasons why you lose your balance. We show you how in every sport balance can help you in that sport, and we give you some exercises towards the end. We have the Slackbow, which is a 13-foot long frame that's infinitely controllable in terms of putting a slack line on it, a 2-inch slack line. The line comes with it, by the way. We have a slack plate, which is something that goes on the slack bow that keeps a foot from being deformed and makes it a little bit more difficult. And then we have the slack block, which is a 13 or 14-inch long balance device. It's only 3 by 3 by 13 inches. But the crazy thing about it is it replicates a slack line probably by about, 60, 70%. So you get on it and you have the same movement patterns that you'd have on a slack line. So it's the type of thing that you can keep under your desk or in your bedroom, and you don't have to go set up a slack line for it. And then we have, videos online. If you purchase any of these things, that you can go look at to learn more about how to use them.
So for example, the main product, is that something for gyms or is that for individual home use?
Yeah, it is. We've had, they're not expensive for gym equipment, but they're $1,500. But they're bought by individuals. We have a couple of football teams that have bought them. We've got gyms that buy them. But the whole concept of what we do is just now starting to catch on after 5 years of being in the woods. People go, well, how do you know? And I'll go, just do it for 2 hours. I mean, any great athlete does it for 2 hours, and they come back and go, well, that's incredible. I mean, we have Olympic shooters come back after 2 hours and they've had massive improvements in their personal best in shooting. I mean, just these types of things go on everywhere. And now it's just sort of starting to come together, and we're selling more slack bows, but really our commercial product is a slack block. And we have a pipeline of probably about 12 other products that we'll start bringing out soon as well.
And for more details, they can head over to your website.
Yeah. Anything Slackbow, SlackBow.com is us online.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Exploring Mind and Body. As always, thank you so much for being here, for being a part of our True Form Life community, and however you contribute to your downloads, shares, reviews, even being here and listening means so much. Without this platform, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have you to talk to. So thank you for being here. I want to thank Jim for coming on and sharing his expertise. I absolutely love what he's doing, where he's coming from. It was kind of funny. I went to an eye doctor with a friend. They were getting glasses, and I asked the optometrist, or I'm not sure if there's another name for them, but I said, are there certain ways or exercises things that we can do to prevent our eyes from getting weaker as we age? Because I think we all know on some level that as we age, our eyes get weaker, or we need some help in some way. And I think it's just normal for us to accept eyeglasses. Just for an example, to say, oh, I'm getting older, it's time for me to get glasses. And I feel like Jim's saying the same thing, like just because you're getting older, and I feel the same way about glasses, it doesn't mean that you have to, we shouldn't expect, I suppose what I'm getting at, we shouldn't expect our health to decline. We shouldn't expect our balance to be off just because we're getting older. And there are things that we can do. Unfortunately, this particular optometrist said, there's nothing you can do. That's just the way it is. And I kind of thought, no, it's not. And it's unfortunate that this is the advice that they're giving, but I would expect the same thing if you went into a doctor's office and you asked the doctor the same thing and said, how can I prevent my health? And I really feel that many of them would say, these things happen in life. Unfortunately, there are many things that we can do that we should know about. And if you're listening to the show, we talk about prevention. And there are things that we can do to improve our health as we age. And balance is a big one. So if you're learning or thinking about doing some more balancing things, whether it's a slack block or whether it's a slack line or just different balancing exercises. I think you're doing a good thing for your health, and you should 100% give it a shot and work towards improving your balance, because our health in all areas shouldn't get worse as we age, and we shouldn't expect that or accept that in our lives. I'm going to leave you with that. You can head over to trueformlife.com for more details as to what we have going on through fitness and nutrition. All these past shows are going to go up on exploringmindandbody.com. So if you ever miss a show, you can go back and check it there. And we have a brand new free app on any Apple device. You can download the show so you never miss it. Take it with you wherever you go. That's it. That's all I got. I'm out of here. As always, I'm your host.
You've been listening to Exploring Mind and Body with True Form Life's Drew Tadia, fitness expert. To find out more about the show, Drew Tadia, or to listen to past shows, visit exploringmindandbody.com.